So please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8. Last week we covered get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Understanding is to know why the world is the way it is, and to understand what's happening in the spiritual realm so that we can do what's right through the wisdom of God. And we'll read verses 8 through 12, before we get into our study where we left off last night in verse 13, or last week in verse 13. It says, "Exalt her, wisdom and understanding, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. You will not stumble or you will not be hindered. Your life will not be shortened by foolishness." We emphasized last week, again, somebody just died in a car accident today. We don't know anything about them spiritually, but I mean, life can be snuffed out, as we know. We all know people that their life was cut short, so to speak, as far as we're concerned. But what the scriptures say is if we embrace the wisdom and understanding of God's word, we're not going to foolishly end our life early, like so many people do. You get into a life of drugs, crime, even lying, cheating, stealing, everything. It shortens life and it corrupts the life that you have that's short. And so we have these promises by God's word to not be stumbled if we keep our eyes on him. And really, this is a challenge to all of us as fathers or grandfathers, great-grandfathers. The Proverbs written by Solomon, he was trying to pass this wisdom down to his children, the wisdom and understanding. I've taught you everything. And we as parents should say, I've taught you the wisdom of God. I've taken you through this. I take you to church. I take you to spiritual things. I don't get you into the world. I'm not teaching you things of the world. I've talked to people that they learn how to do drugs from their parents. I mean, how crazy is that? And so we should be teaching our children the wisdom, especially in these days. Verse 13, "Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Everlasting life." Because true wisdom, what does true wisdom include? Submitting ourselves to God. Submitting ourselves to his salvation plan, and that's where she is our life. The true wisdom is to say, God, forgive me a sinner. I see that your word is so wise. Everything that you say is the way I should do it. But I have failed. I have sinned against you. But so great wisdom is to submit to God and faith in Jesus Christ. So it says to take firm hold of instruction. Where do we get the instruction? From the scriptures. So take firm hold in the word of God. And again, you know, we can make it very personal to our group here. Have you taken hold of all the word of God? Through the Bible reading, I've been going through Kings and going pretty fast. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. All the foolishness of men, how you have a great God-fearing king and then his son becomes worse than ever. And you sit there and you realize, what a craziness, how easy it is for the world and sin to grip the heart of even a child of a godly person. And yet, you can have the child of an evil person be the greatest revivalist and greatest God-fearing person like there was with Josiah. And so it's like, it's so amazing. The history that is there, and if we're reading that, if somebody that is seeking wisdom, seeking understanding is taught by their parents, read this word as if you need and must have this wisdom and understanding of the scriptures, and they're going to read through that, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will convict them, especially if they're born again, especially if they're born of the Spirit, but even if they aren't born again yet, it's going to go, man, look at how messed up things got when people sinned and rebelled against God. So, the word of God is so important. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Why? Because that's where the devil is. The devil wants to destroy us. Avoid it. Verse 15, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And so what are those paths today? And again, this is basic 101 Christianity. You know, before I become a Christian, I went to the bars with my Navy buddies. Since being a Christian, you know, really, I don't remember how soon it was that I read Proverbs, but even before I read Proverbs, the Holy Spirit says, you're done doing that. I had not read. It's like, the bar is an evil place. Why go there? I know there's people that are Christians that will go to bars. And then what happens is the bars take over their life. And they go and they squander time away. Thousands of different places on the web now are these turn away from it and pass on, wouldn't you say? Thousands of places on the web that are available. Turn away, don't pass by, let others, people say, oh, you got to check out this link. Nope, don't think I'm going to. Oh, you got to check this picture out, look at this. Nope, don't think I'm going to do that. We have to pass by everything today. Social media associated with cultivating sinful relations with others. I mean, sociologists are talking about how many marriages are breaking up because of the ability to social media with people from the past. Going back to high school, going back to college, going back to flings, all this destruction that's happening. As I've emphasized so often, we're living in the most dangerous time to be able to obey this. It's such a dangerous time for all of humanity, and especially for Christians, because the devil Satan is going to have all kinds of ways that he's going to try and tempt us into these things. And I would say, even for parents with children, you know, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And I would say, attending public education without major correction from God-fearing parents. Because the school system today, and I went to my grandson's, middle school graduation last night, and just real, I mean, I was just thinking the curriculum is all, by definition, by mandate from the courts of America, godless. Can you imagine that? Everything they're learning today has to be godless as far as this is concerned. Can't be anything about Jesus. Can't be anything that ties to the Bible. You know, somebody was telling me last week that they went to the workplace. They were at the shipyard and they wrote up on a whiteboard that's just in the cafeteria, or the little, break room, and wrote up there, woe to he who calls evil good and calls good evil. Isaiah chapter 5. And he got a bunch of grief. You can't do that. That's illegal. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And other people came and said other things in America today. So we know the educational system is purposely programming our children for a godless, worldly mindset. And if we don't put something in response to that, if we don't let something get in there and say, hey, they're lying to you here. This millions and billions of years is a lie. And here's the scientific evidence to support the truth of what the Bible says, and et cetera, et cetera. And you're being lied to. You're being deceived. And when they tell you about sexual orientation, you're being deceived because the Bible says it's an abomination to God. And if you aren't doing that, and then those poor kids that then go into the school and they, whoa, how come, what do you think about this? Well, I think it's an abomination to God. Whoa. What's going to happen? And so even being able to tell the truth in the midst, we're getting close as far as the stifling of the truth. We're close to communist Russia, communist China, where you mention one thing in society, you're going to the gulag. You're going to be at least banished socially by your peers, if not soon, being rung up in the court system, sued, whatever else, lose your job. For simply saying the truth. So avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And then I'm going to add, but it's biblical, no matter what the cost. That's what he's really saying. No matter what the cost, we have to keep away from these paths of evil. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And then what we have to realize in our room, in our mind is, and their end is death. See, you can even tell your children this about school. You know, the people that write the curriculum, the people that have morphed the country into godlessness because they're trying to create a new world order, and to do that, you have to destroy Christianity because you can't have Christianity as the strength of the nation. So this has been a very deliberate, concerted effort, inspired by Satan, but implemented through his minions who have listened to his deceptions, and to say, this is what's going to happen. They're going to be godless. It doesn't matter if they're professors. It doesn't matter if they're high school teachers or they're junior high teachers, and they're esteemed by everybody, and they get the Teacher of the Year Award and all this other stuff. It doesn't matter. Their end is death and hell, separated from the God for all of eternity. And that's what we need to teach them if we're going to teach them wisdom. And then they can go through school and they can sit there and go, okay, I know I'm going to stick with the truth because I know this is all a big facade. I can learn the stuff I'm supposed to learn. I don't have to embrace the lies. I can move on with life. But I know that those people that are wanting to be godless in every way are going to have their end in death. Verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And it's so true. No matter how miserable they've made their lives, they keep going. They keep doing it. Isn't that amazing? You would think that every socialist, communist mindset politician in America would look at Venezuela and say, forgive me, constituents. Forgive me, country. We're taking our country the way Venezuela is. Because, again, every financial pursuit of socialist mindset leads to collapse and misery. And what are the greatest, progressive states politically in the country? Illinois being one. What's happening to Illinois? They're saying this week it's going bankrupt. They've told the road workers there's no money, and they're basically starting to announce bankruptcy in Illinois is inevitable. Do you realize how serious that is in our country? To lose Illinois in bankruptcy and all the tens of hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be, they're going to be stiffing people that they owe money to, and all the pensions of Illinois, all these people that are on pensions in Illinois surviving because they've retired, they had a government job, a government pension by the state of Illinois, and they're all going to be told, sorry, we promised you everything for nothing, and I guess once again it didn't work. And California's right behind them. And people are leaving. People that are actually working are leaving California in droves because they can't handle the taxes anymore. They just keep on giving another socialist promise to somebody, and then there's no money for it. And so they just keep, okay, we'll tax them. Yeah, tax, tax. They go, and now California's about ready to fall too. Keep your heart, or verse 20. But the wicked are going to keep on doing it. Venezuela is still doing it. They saw that their policies are corrupt, and they're just adding the same kind of corrupt policies and absolutely destroying the country to the point where people are having to live, are having to survive by stealing. The only way they can survive is to steal. And this last week, so they caught a young man stealing. You know what they did? The crowd was so upset because they're holding on to the little bit that they have left as they're, getting all skinny because they can't eat, they can't find food. And they took this guy, they doused him with gasoline and lit him on fire. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. If only we can embrace this in our lives and pay attention to the Word of God. It's almost like the Word of God to us is so precious and so cherished that we look at it like it's actual life, because it is. It's not like we're worshiping the Word, but we're worshiping Jesus who gave us the Word and said, if you listen to this, I give you life. And so then we can look at the world in a totally different way. We don't look at it through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, because our mind does that little flip. We become God mind, a God mind. And we see lust for what it is, death and destruction. We see all the corruption. And so verse 23, keep your heart towards God, I'm going to add. But biblically, not adding to the Word of God, really. Keep your heart towards God with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life, issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. We should, when Jesus gets hold of our life and the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in our life, If we are liars, we should stop lying. If we deceive people, we should stop deceiving. What the Proverbs say is just stop it. Stop deceitfulness. And perversity. Again, you know, a sanctified Christians will walk into the workplace and what are the people doing? They're always perverse mouth talking about all kinds of garbage. It used to be when I was in the shipyard. You walk in, oh, we can't talk now. Kevin's here, you know, whatever. And see, it should be that way. It should be that our mouth is not perverse. We're not joining with them in their perversities. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Don't look to the sinful right or to the left. When you're going through a dangerous crowd, what do they tell you? If you're having to navigate third world country, whatever else, you know, you're in Kenya and everybody's trying to rip you off and stuff. You know what you do? You just walk straight ahead and you don't look to the right or to the left. You don't make eye contact. If you want to get through a dangerous situation, you just don't look and you go straight. And you know what? We're living in a dangerous world. And when we're in this world, we have to spiritually, like we're looking straight ahead. Kevin, I want you to see this. No. I want you to hear this. No. I want you to entice you with this. No. No, I'm just straight ahead. Don't get eye contact with the drug dealer. Don't get eye contact with the immoral person. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. You just walk straight ahead. Spiritually. Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And really, so pondering the path of your feet, let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. So let's, you know, again, let's bring it personal. Ask yourself the question. If the cops were totally, you know, you wore a little GoPro that's wired up to the cops. And good. In your walking life, do you have to worry about what you're doing? You know, the answer is Christians should be able to say, no, you know, we're not worried. I don't care because I'm not stealing. I'm not doing anything. And not that we would want a GoPro. I don't even want my insurance company to know about my, you know, to attach a little thing to my car, which they're all trying to get us to do. They want us to, you know, OnStar is wanting you to sign up for their good driver program, and the insurance companies are wanting that because they want to tax us by the mile. They want to get us so that we all have a GPS on our car so that they know exactly where we're going, how many miles we go, how fast we go, and all this stuff because they want to enslave us some more. But, and what if for children, my parents can know absolutely everything I do and they're not going to be discouraged? Now, when I was a kid, growing up in my, you know, I was unsafe when I was, living with my parents. It wasn't until after I moved out. But I think back, absolutely not. My parents cannot know what I'm doing. But see, as a Christian child, we should be teaching our children this. We could say, if I knew everything you say and do, even when I'm not around, would it be that your path of your feet were always established in righteousness? Or were the things that you're saying, the things that you're doing at school or in the workplace or whatever, you know, if young kid working, same thing for spouse. If your spouse knew everything you said and did, your husband, your wife, we should be able to, if we're sanctified walking with Jesus, if we're doing what God has called, if we're using the wisdom of God, we should be able to say, absolutely, I don't care what my wife knows. In fact, some people get all upset. They want to have separate bank accounts. They want to have separate email accounts, separate Twitter accounts, separate stuff. Don't share their passwords with one another. And basically that's unsafe to me. Because of this. Why would you need to, you are one. As a husband and wife, you're one. Everything should be totally shared. There should be, especially in this day and age, there should be no deviation, from being faithful, as we're going to see later on. And when these things we're not doing so we can be saved, it's because we are saved. We're under management of Jesus. And the thing is God knows everything you do. So you should just be thinking, my spouse should know, my parents should know, my boss should know, everybody should know what I'm doing because God knows what I'm doing. Chapter 5, verse 1. All right. New grandbaby. Praise God. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. And I would say, this, you know, many people struggle with this immorality in life. You know, many a man today confesses that they struggle with pornography. And this should be memorized. I tell people, just memorize the Proverbs. Read through the Proverbs. If you're struggling with it, read through it. Because if you just looked at life, the immoral aspects of life this way, it would set us free if we let it sink down into our hearts to realize that we need to preserve discretion, to not listen or watch the immoral woman, because it's smoother than oil, but in the end, and to realize in the end, it's bitterness. If you're tempted with unfaithfulness, tempted in immorality, then you must realize it's a demonic ploy to entice, lure, capture you. And then, for further help, just go to YouTube and watch all the different ways God has created animals to lure other animals. I was watching one recently. There's this super camouflaged fish. I mean, like so camoed, you know, ocean fish, that it's like you cannot even tell the difference. Its eyes are even camoed with the rest of the thing. And what it does is it puts out a little worm out on its head and just dangles it there. And so then that worm looks safe, and so I can go up to eat it. And as soon as the fish comes up to eat it, then this thing, and one of the YouTube videos puts it in slow motion, and this thing just opens its mouth, sucks it in, and the worm, and brings it, closes its lips, and then there's enough muscle on the fly rod, you know, on the fishing pole, to pull the worm out while its mouth is still shut, ready for the second course. And so, area hunters, we sit there and we will put out, depending on what state you live in and what you're allowed to do. A friend of mine, he has down in Texas, they allow this. He has a feeder. It just sprays out corn or whatever they want to feed. Just sprays it out on the ground so the deer get used to, oh, look at this, free corn. Isn't this nice? Wow, this is so cool. And they get used to it. There's no problem with this. I've been doing this day after day, week after week. And then hunting season comes and boom, they're dead. Yeah? So we do it. And see, the thing, the big bucks, the guys that get to be big bucks, they go, that's too easy. There's something wrong with this picture. I'm not going to go there. You can go there. In fact, I'll watch you go there. And then they sit there and they see their lives destroyed. And then they learn. And God, as I've mentioned many times, I've used this analogy, God wants all of you to be big bucks. He wants you to grow up, to be set free, to not go into these traps of the devil. And the devil lays traps just like we as hunters do. He's hunting the souls of men. Just like a hunter. And if we go for that easy, oh, that looks easy, that looks really easy to get, then it's just destruction. And I've seen it happen many times. And this is true for girls being deceived by immoral men today, too. And it actually includes, this is weird, I've never even taught this before, but it's come true since the last time I taught Proverbs. You even have to teach your kids, be careful about the immoral, teach your sons, be careful of the immoral guy at school. You have to teach your daughters, be careful of the immoral woman at school. The immoral female at school. The immoral it at school. Because you can't call them male or female anymore. I've shared this before. Maybe not actually. But there was a young man that went here. He loved, as we all should love, his friend who had gone the lesbian lifestyle in school. And she was willing, and he had told her, I'd like my pastor to talk to you if you're willing. And she said she was willing. So we got together and we talked. and was trying to, you know, just how did this happen? Why? What was it that caused you to get in this lifestyle? It was a horrible upbringing situation. And she was unmoved by anything that I said, or which was the Word of God, and just sharing with her, "You're being deceived. But she totally took it. She wasn't offended. This is what the truth of the Word of God. You're being deceived." And she was anticipating at the time living the rest of her life with the girls that she was living with. And I said, "How did that happen?" "Well, she, so you ran into her. She was like, oh no, she was a straight girl at school, at high school." And one day I saw her, and it, literally, this is what she said. "One day I saw her, and it was a sunny day, and she just flicked her red hair, and I thought, oh, she's so beautiful." And then she worked on her. She worked on this straight girl over and over and over again until, much to the consternation of her parents, she came and lived with her later on, seduced her. And so, by the way, they broke up, and later on, because she, and we finished that conversation. Next time the guy came back into town, he says, "Hey, want to get together again?" "Sure, if she's willing to get together." She wanted to get together again. We had another talk. And she had broken up with what she was in. She broke up with a girl that she seduced into joining the lesbian lifestyle. And who knows how that's going to play out in her life. You know, let's say I don't know about the other girl. Maybe she's repentant. She goes, "Man, why did I even do this?" Just all the damage that's done emotionally in her life from then on. I mean, it's gonna play out. And unless she gets Jesus, gets her mind completely renewed, gets turned away from that, it's gonna affect her in her relationship with her husband someday. It's gonna affect her in so many different ways throughout life. And it's out there. And it's predatory. This is a huge predatory problem in our country today. It's exploding. We're going like Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have to warn our children against the immoral man, the woman, both ways. You know, flip it both ways. You got to worry about them. I got to tell my grandsons, be careful of the men, the young men and the girls. Lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, him, I'll add. And do not go near the door of her, his house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I have hated instruction, my heart despised correction. Recently, a guy I knew, he got kind of deceived, workplace floozy, that seduced him, and now he's beginning to realize what a fool I've been. And so this is the mindset, guys and girls. We shouldn't look at the world the way the world does. When we see TV shows with scantily clad, increasingly scantily clad, my dad wants me to watch America's Got Talent. Said, "Kevin, you'd really like this. I mean, you would be amazed, America's Got Talent." And today, it was a news item that there was this dance group that was just phenomenal, lit up the place last night or recently, I guess. So I watched that. But I realized that the people that judge it or whatever, they're just floozies. And I should have said, "Dad, I don't want to watch it because I don't want to have to subject myself to floozies. Dressing sexually immoral floozies." And see that, and I know this is, that's what our mind has to say, floozies, whores, immoral, death, destruction, the easy pile of corn on the ground, etc., etc., etc. Because as soon as I allow my mind to embrace it without saying floozy, then I'm setting myself up to start conditioning my mind to not care. We have to be so careful in what we allow into our own minds and into the minds of our family, into our children. There would be absolutely no way if I had children in the house that I would allow that to be in my house. And again, it's an extremely popular show. Maybe you've watched it. Maybe you watch it, but ask yourself the question. The first time you watch it, you think, oh, man, look at that. Look at how they dress. Look at how they act. But that's okay because I'm just here for the entertainment, which, you know, you can do that for a while. But don't be deceived into thinking that it isn't conditioning your mind. And then all of a sudden, let's say that something else comes and Satan just adds something else to that and another thing. And all of a sudden, you're down the path. How powerful is this? Turn to Exodus chapter 34, verse 12. This is so powerful of an evil that it is the reason why Israel was destroyed. It's the reason Judah was destroyed. And it's the reason why, if you read Kings, if you read Chronicles, over and over and over and over again, you find out that the reason why destruction comes to the kings, to the people, to the nation, is because of immorality. Every single time, it's immorality. The lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh are so powerful that those who are tempted must remove their way far from her, is what Proverbs said. And look at this, Exodus, what did I say, 34:12? Is that, okay. And I'm going to read Exodus 23:24 to you first, and then we'll pick it up at 34:12. It says, "You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars." And their sacred pillars, by the way, were sex object pillars. And you shall overthrow them, completely break them down, destroy all semblance of immorality displayed in your culture. Exodus 34:12, "Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land." Make that today the immoral world that we're in. You can't make any covenant with the immoral world that we're in because we're not the chosen people of Israel. The Canaanites have not left. They're all around us. They're in Hollywood. They're in all the books. They're in all these other places. They're everywhere. You can't make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images. Again, wooden images, they'd carve sex object stuff into wood, make sacred pillars, phallic symbols, etc. "For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifices to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. Get your sons into just nothing but sexual immorality and serving the gods of sex." And again, God created sex within the context of biblical marriage. He created to be man and a woman, forsaking all others, cleaving only unto each other until they are parted in death. To be monogamous, heterosexual, until death you do part. That's the plan. That's not the world's plan. The world's plan is you marry, you play around, you do all this other stuff, and everything's immoral. And in fact, I told Juanita the other day, was it 100 million? I can't remember. Well, some of the symbols, the extremely popular female symbol figures of America today, are they chaste, virtuous women? Are they in America today? No. They're completely immoral. Their songs are immoral. Their persona is immoral. Their tag, everything about their life is immoral. And they have tens of millions of followers on Twitter that want to know everything they say and do. They're the role models of America. And so, again, like we were talking about last week, people say a revival is right around the corner. Really? Really? How can there be revival when the popular of our world today are what the Bible calls whores? How can that be? Deuteronomy 7:3, turn there. "Nor shall you make marriages with them, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 7:3, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. You must, you know, God is saying, the only way to keep this from being a problem is to burn it, to destroy it. Now, we can't do that. We can't go burn down Hollywood. We can't burn our TV. You know, we can't. I did when I first got saved. I shot my TV out in the on the lava fields of Idaho. I said, that thing's controlling me. It was a lot of fun. And back then, they used to explode. Now these flat screens are so boring to shoot. But never shot one, but I know they would be boring to shoot. But back in those days, it was a lot of fun. And I remember that on my submarine, even my Christian friends felt sorry for Juanita. You know, did you see this? No, we don't have a TV. You don't have a TV. We go to sea for a week. You enslave your, what does your wife do? That was way back then. They bought me a TV. But, and then finally, 1 Kings 14:22. We'll close with this. 1 Kings 14:22. And by the way, there's another dozen of these places in the scriptures that talk about burning it, getting rid of it. Now Judah, 1 Kings 14:22, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed, more than all their fathers had done, for they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill. And, you know, again, wooden images are sex gods. It literally whittled into sex gods. And they find them archaeologically, stone, and, you know, it's just big-breasted women, this and that. Pornography, it's pornography in old technology. Wooden images on every hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in land. What is he talking about? He's talking about homosexuals. That's what it's talking about. And also, this got so bad that the culture got so enamored with demonic, satanic influences within their culture to worship sex gods that all of a sudden they get turned over to the spirit of homosexuality. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And so what happened to Israel as a result? They were cast out of the land. They were judged, destroyed by foreign armies. And even when, I'm trying to remember now, one of the prophets, one of the minor prophets said, God, how long are you going to put up, like today we say, how long, God, are you going to put up with all this evil that's happening and stuff in our country? And God told him, maybe somebody can help me with that, I'm trying to think of the mighty prophet, told him, not very long, I'm going to bring Babylon, and I'm going to destroy the place with Babylon, Iraq. And then the prophet said, the mighty prophet said, you can't use them, they're worse than us. And God says, oh yeah, I can. Watch me. And Babylon came. And so, again, as a, yeah, we should study history. History shows that when a people get full-fledged into immorality, it progresses and leads to full-fledged rebellion against God into the homosexual lifestyle. And when that happens, it escalates to the point of judgment. And God will use any number of ways to make it happen. And so do I see revival on the horizon? No. I see judgment. Because that's what I see from the Bible. I see from the Bible we're on the, you know, we pinnacled fear of God, the nation feared God and trusted in His Word and taught His Word in the schools and stuff, and we shunned evil. And I mean, people said, how dare they make a movie where somebody says, my dear, I don't, whatever, used a swear word. And now it's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's everywhere, and so we're on the downward spiral, and then sexual immorality, the sexual revolution takes over, a homosexual explodes on the scene and gets embraced and coddled through every aspect of society, and that's what happens just before judgment comes. Go back to chapter one. Oh, Habakkuk, yeah. It's Habakkuk. It was the minor prophet Habakkuk that started out with, God, I'm seeing so much evil. How can I let myself even see this anymore? Not much longer, it gets judged. And, you know, just by way of national news, current events, you know, people say, Kevin, what's the deal about that cruiser, that destroyer that got T-boned by a big tanker this week? Remember that? You know, and you sit there and you go, how can an Aegis-class missile defense destroyer not know a big container ship is coming on? And I would love to see the report of what was going on. You know? Well, the guy on the radar, he was checking his Twitter account and looking at some porn that somebody sent him. And the captain on the deck was just talking about all his favorite whatevers. And the officer on the deck and whatever, it corrupt the Navy I was in, impossible. It would have been impossible. Everybody was doing their job, but people in businesses and everything are talking about how they can't get people to work anymore because of all the distractions that are there in the job. It's impossible to get hit by a big, huge container ship if they had their radar up. Now think about this, because the North Koreans are getting ready to do another nuke test, or satellites are saying there's a bunch of activity and they're going to do a nuke test. And let's say we've been knowing that for a while, and so our Aegis cruiser, our Aegis destroyer, is there to be part of the missile defense system of this country, so that if they launch a missile, that it locks on and it takes that missile out before it comes and vaporizes a bunch of Japanese or South Koreans or whatever. And if they have one that can reach America, to vaporize us. But now, miraculously, that ship just got put out of commission. And you wonder if that's going to just even alter the course of events. They blow a nuke off, maybe we don't do anything now, because now we're not sure we're going to be able to protect because the ship is gone. And again, I'd like to know something weird. It's unexplainable other than somebody was extremely incompetent, or they were running with all the radar and everything off, which if they were doing, because Navy ships will do that at times to just play impossible to find. And if they were doing that, they were getting ready for something big. They were practicing for being hidden and not letting the enemy know where the ship was in case it was needed in time of military necessity. And even then they should have had watches out and seen it. Anyway, it's all speculation. It's all crazy. But I'm just saying, it's almost like the protection that we've had is being removed from us as a country in many different ways, politically and everything else. There's a war going on of which way we're going to go, and may God help us. I pray He'll be merciful to us, but we need to get back to fearing God, don't you think? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your wisdom, and we pray that You would help us have understanding. Lord, for all those in the church, not just here, but throughout all the world, Lord, that is suffering under the deluge and just in Your face of the immorality that surrounds us, help us, God, to be as You said, to walk straight ahead, not turning to the right or to the left, to fear You, to look into Your word, and to be set free from the entanglements and the enticements of those that are around us. And You'd help us to keep our eyes pure and our hearts in love with You more than with the things of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
So let's live it in service to Jesus and not the world. Amen? Because the world's passing away and lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. God bless you. Keep you in His care till we can fellowship again.